Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. I am Ajay Prabhu, a senior banker having over 30 years exposure in corporate world in more than 4 to 5 banks, and have over 30 qualifications and a lot of exposure in conducting various programs on banking and more specifically in the BFSI sector. Today we are going to start with a very, very interesting topic, that is corporate banking. And when I say corporate banking, this is not only the fund base, that is the money that is provided, but the services that are provided in non-money form also to the corporates. When I talk about banking basically is a financial intermediary. It plays a role wherein it takes the savings from the savers and gives it to the borrowers. Now here comes a very important trust from the people who have given money for safekeeping to the bank, and the banker has to take all care that whenever it gives this money to the borrowers, the money is given to the right borrower. The money is safe. The money can be recalled if at all the borrower does not comply with various terms and conditions that are told to him while the credit facility is sanctioned to him. So we need to know a lot many things, especially from the money lent to the corporate point of view. And we are going to understand it is not only money that is lent, but how to make the money that is lent safe and secure by following various legal procedures. In this book, we are not only going to understand giving money to the corporates over here, that is in our country, but also help the corporate to raise money from abroad. So here comes various guidelines by the regulator. There are various acts to be complied with whenever we cross the frontiers of the country for raising finance from abroad. And then we also have to see certain rules and regulations as far as the recovery of the loans that are to be made. Here comes again the role of the regulator, who have made specific guidelines as to how a recovery agent should follow the borrower, should make an attempt to recover the outstanding loans that are to be made from the borrowers. And at the same time, our regulator has also made some fair practices code to be followed by the banker when it is actually dealing with its customers. And when we talk about customers, here the customers are both the depositors as well as the borrowers. So friends, let's begin with the very first chapter of corporate banking, that is on the advances. When we talk about advances, this includes money that is given to the borrower in the form of credit facility. So we are going to understand one chapter after the other, what exactly the different types of advances are, what are the different types of credit facilities, how we can secure these credit facilities when we are giving this to our borrowers. The main objective of this chapter is to understand the different types of advances that are made to the borrowers. So let us now first understand what exactly banking is. Banking has been defined under Section 5, Subsection B of Negotiable Instruments Act 1881 as the acceptance for the purpose of lending or investment of deposits from the public that are repayable on demand or otherwise by check, draft, order or otherwise. So from this definition, we clearly identify three main functions of banking. The very first one is acceptance of deposits. And these deposits are accepted from the public. Obviously, these deposits can be repayable as and when the customer wants, which we call as the demand deposits, which are in the form of saving account, current account, or it may be repayable after a certain term or a fixed period, which we call as fixed deposits. So once we understand this main function of banking, the very primary function of banking is to accept deposits, then the next immediate function comes, what will it do with these deposits? Because banking is a business, it's a commercial activity. On one hand, when you accept or when the bank accepts deposits from the public, it also needs to pay interest to them for keeping deposits with the bank. So the bank not only has to find a way in getting this interest, but also has to survive on its expenses that are to be made for infrastructure, for the salaries to the staff, and over and above it being a commercial activity, it also have to earn some profit out of this activity. And for this reason, it does two main functions. Number one, the primary function, that is lending to the borrowers at a higher rate than what it has to pay to its depositors. And at the same time, it will balance this activity of a lending with investments. Friends, it is not possible that always a bank will get good borrowers, and it is not compulsion that bank has to lend the entire money that it accepts from the depositors. If it finds some good lucrative avenues to invest in the market and get some good revenue out of it, the bank does this balancing between lending and investing for the sole purpose of earning revenue. So these are the three main functions of banking. Number one is accepting deposits. Number two is lending to its customers or borrowers. And number three, investments in the market. So what does that mean? The main revenue for the bank comes in the form of interest on advances. Traditionally, banks have been following this model to earn revenue out of interest that are earned on advances. But as technology has driven banking, as innovations have been poured into the banking industry, bankers have also learned to find another source of earning revenue in the form of fee-based income. We will also look into this, how can the bank earn revenue out of interest income as well as the fee-based income in our subsequent chapters. So friends, once we have got convinced that the main revenue for the bank is from the interest income out of the advances that are made to the borrower, it becomes very, very important for the bank to ensure that the money that is lent to the borrower, first of all, is serviced properly in the form of repayment of principal and interest. And at the same time, if at all there is a default made by the borrower, then the banker should have a remedy in liquidating those assets that are financed and recover the outstanding loan that stands in the name of the borrower. Banks may suffer a loss if the funds that are given as loans are not returned or repaid by the borrowers. A bank's strength is dependent on the quality of advance. Now friends, this quality of advance has to be understood very clearly. Like no one prefers to have a bouquet of flowers, say a bouquet of roses of one color. There may be a specific liking for a person to have a bouquet of only one color. When we have multiple colors, the bouquet looks attractive for anyone. Likewise, in advances also, when we talk about quality of advance, this quality is made out of different types of advances. And when we talk about different types of advances, some advances may have to be lent at a really lower rate. There may be some government policies, there may be some government welfare schemes wherein bank has to play its social role for the priority sectors for lending it to the weaker and the disadvantaged sections of the society at a lower rate. At the same time, the bank also has to ensure the quality of advances that are created recovers not only the deficit of the interest that a bank may have to lose, but also to cover up the extra revenue to even out in the competition that it is with the other bankers, which can be of different form, structure, and capabilities. So friends, this statement is very important. A bank's strength is dependent on the quality of advance. Banks have to be careful on whom they lend to and what type of security is created for making good the loss if the borrower does not pay the borrower's loan and interest. So this is a first thing, first cardinal rule in the minds of the banker before lending or before making a decision to sanction any advance. Will the money be safe in the hands of borrower? So safety becomes the first cardinal principle for lending in the minds of the borrower. And if the advance is safe and secure, the quality of advance will always be better and better. So let's understand what are the different types of advances. When we talk about different types of advance, there can be classification made on various parameters. But if you have to classify advance based on the security that is provided by the borrower or the security that is created out of the money that is lent to the borrower, we can classify advances into three types: secured advance, unsecured advance, and partly secured advance. So let us understand the meaning of each one of them. What do you mean by a secured advance? What do you mean by an unsecured advance? And what do we mean by a partly secured advance? Understanding secured advance is very simple. When we talk about secured advance, it simply means the asset is backed by security. But here we have a wonderful definition of secured advance. Here again, Banking Regulation Act 1949 defines secured advance under Section 5, Subsection N as a loan or advance made on security of assets. When we talk about loan made on security of assets, the security should have value. And what does that value mean? The market value of which is not at any time less than the amount of such loan of advance. So when we talk about secured advance, the security provided will have a market value more than what the money that is lent to the borrower. So this clearly establishes what a secured advance is. Let us understand this with an example of secured advance. For example, secured advance are given against security of some asset, and that asset is a house that is created out of a housing loan, and here the security of a housing loan comes in the form of a charge created on the asset in the form of mortgage of the house. In case of a car loan, the asset is the car, and the charge is created in the form of hypothecation of the car. In the case of a loan given against fixed deposit receipt, the asset is the fixed deposit receipt, and the security or the charge that is created is in the form of pledge of fixed deposit receipt. Now, here I am talking about specific names of charge like pledge, like hypothecation, like mortgage. This also we are going to see in our subsequent chapters as to what exactly it means and which particular law defines it. When we talk about secured loans are the safest loans for the bankers because secured loans reduces the risk for the bankers. Stronger the security, lesser the risk. Bankers can liquidate the property which is securing loan through creation of charge like mortgage, hypothecation, pledge, etc. through a legal process and recover the unpaid loans and the interest. Without following the legal procedure, without creation of charge, banker cannot even touch the property. So it becomes a prime responsibility of a banker that if it has to make its security for recovering the defaults or the outstanding money that is not paid by the borrower, it has to follow a legal procedure for creating such charge. Only then it can have the legal remedy. So what types of securities can be provided by the borrower? When we classify securities, we can classify security into two main types based on what the security that is provided is. The first one is a primary security, which is offered by the borrower himself. Like when we talk about a home loan, the home is in the name of the borrower itself, so that he offers for creation of a mortgage charge. So what is collateral security? Collateral security may not be offered by the borrower, but it is generally offered by a third party who can be a friend or relative to secure the advance made to the bank's customer. So over and above the primary security, a collateral security may be required by a bank to secure the advance that is given to the borrower. We can also classify as security into tangible and personal based on its visibility or feeling. What do you mean by tangible security? Security which is visible and can be sold or transferred can be called as tangible security. The best example of tangible security are goods, documents of title to goods, real estate, etc., etc. The next type of security is personal security, which comes in the form of promise of the borrower himself to pay back the borrowed money. And this promise can be in the form of some legal document. It can be in the form of a negotiable instrument like a promissory note, a legal document, or an agreement like a guarantee, etc., etc., which literally doesn't have a tangible security, but it has a promise basis on which the advance is provided to the customer. So what can be unsecured advance be? When we saw secured advance, it is backed by security. The simplest way to define an unsecured advance is the borrower is given the advance without taking any security. Like I gave an example of a beautiful flower bouquet, a multiple colors bouquet always looks attractive. Likewise, a banker also needs to have a portfolio of secured assets and unsecured assets to even out, to balance the interest earnings out of the advances. One simple rule, secured advance may not fetch the higher rate of interest compared to unsecured advance. Higher the risk in unsecured advance, higher the rate of interest can be charged by the banker. But at the same time, a banker cannot make its entire portfolio only of unsecured. It can be very risky, and hence it has to balance it out with both secured and unsecured advances. A banker has to rely on the standing and creditworthiness reputation of the borrower for sanctioning a unsecured loan. So here the only and only security is the creditworthiness of the borrower. A banker has his own spectacle to look through the borrower, whether that borrower will utilize the funds properly, and not only utilize the funds properly, but he will repay back the principal and interest in time. So this judgment is very important from the banker's point of view. The only and only basis is the creditworthiness of the borrower, his standings, his reputation for sanctioning an unsecured credit. Examples of unsecured credit, the best one comes in the form of personal loan. Personal loan is simply given on the basis of creditworthiness to individuals to meet their personal needs such as medical expenses, holiday expenses, or even wedding expenses. Now let us understand a very special term in advances, which we call it as a clean loan. An overdraft allowed without taking some tangible security is called a clean overdraft. First of all, what is an overdraft? We are going to see this in our subsequent chapter. We have one full chapter on overdraft. What does an overdraft briefly means? An overdraft is a credit facility in which the borrower is permitted to withdraw up to a certain limit in spite of there being no balance in his account. So when we talk about overdraft, if this overdraft facility is given without taking any tangible security, then that credit facility is called as a clean overdraft. It can be also called as a clean loan. So clean word specifically indicates there is no security to back that advance. In case of a clean loan and a clean overdraft, the banker relies entirely on the creditworthiness, reputation, and integrity of the customer. So these three words are very important for the borrower: creditworthiness, reputation, and integrity. And the banker will try to convince himself about these three important parameters are intact of the borrower or not. And only after satisfying that the borrower has creditworthiness, has integrity and reputation, it will give a clean loan or a clean overdraft to its borrowers. So now we have seen secured advance. We have also seen unsecured advance. Now let's see, what do you mean by partly secured advance? Partly secured advance, in its main wordings itself, speaks a lot about what exactly this type of advance can be. It simply means the asset is not fully secured. Only part of the advance is secured. That is a simple meaning of partly secured advance. Partly secured advance are not fully secured by cash or other assets. The market value of partly secured assets or advances will always be lower than the amount that has been lent or the outstanding at any time. So here again, it is a one aspect of the advances portfolio. A portfolio of advances can have secured advance, unsecured advance, and partly secured advance. Once again, I repeat, this is a strategy by the banker to ensure that the lending portfolio is handled optimally, not only to recover the cost it has to incur on the funds that it takes, the other expenses, the operating expenses to be recovered, but also the profit that it requires to survive and ensure the commercial activity of its business goes fine. What are the examples of partly secured advances? See, the loan amount is Rs. 20 lakhs and this credit facility is secured by a charge called hypothecation, but this hypothecation charge is on an asset worth only of 15 lakhs, which clearly means that there is a shortfall of 5 lakhs to cover the loan of 20 lakhs, since the security provided is only for 15 lakhs, and hence this type of credit facility is partly secured. Partly secured means out of the total loan of 20 lakhs, only 15 lakhs is secured and 5 lakhs is not secured. So friends, after having understood this important aspects of what are advances, what are the different types of advances, what is the security, what are the different types of security, we need to understand a very important aspect relating to advance about the status of a banker, especially in the case of secured advance. The legal status of a banker is that of a secured creditor. What do you mean by a secured creditor? A secured creditor simply means the banker gets the first and absolute right to recover his dues out of his sale proceeds of the assets over which a charge has been created in favor of the banker. So banker is absolutely sure that in case the borrower defaults in making the payment, no one else can claim its right on the asset on which the banker has the first charge, the first legally created charge. And this particular aspect of the first charge on the assets of the borrower created out of legal procedure means the banker is a secured creditor, and this is the legal status for a banker, especially when it is giving any advance or credit facility to the borrower. In case of unsecured advance, so in case of secured advance, we saw the legal status of the banker is that of a secured creditor. What is the legal status of a banker in case of an unsecured advance? The legal status of the banker in that of an unsecured advance is that of an unsecured creditor, because he doesn't have any security to fall back. And hence the legal status is that of an unsecured creditor. In case of default by the borrower, the banker stands at par with all other unsecured creditors. So only if anything is left out, he will get it along with all other unsecured creditors. Thank you.